It's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. So you'll want to get your Bible and become a student in this school, and you will learn so much that most people do not know, and it's very sad because the Bible is such a wonderful book. We're in the midst of a study about Babylon and what we read about her in the Bible, but right now we're going to take a break from that and go to our special feature, which is a reading from the Rockcliffe Review. And that is the bulletin that is passed out to all those who attend the Sunday morning services at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. And in this bulletin, I usually have something of a summary or some kind of something that relates to the sermon that I'm preaching that morning. Last Monday, I was preaching a sermon on unbiblical faith, and we talked about several kinds of unbiblical faith. And this Sunday I was to follow that lesson with a study of biblical faith. And so here is a sermon and an article about six kinds of biblical faith. And let me just read to you how the article goes. In a previous article, I wrote about unbiblical uses of the word faith. In this article, I will identify six biblical uses of this word. Correctly identifying how the word faith is used in a passage will clarify the meaning of the passage. Number one, there is a spiritual gift of faith. This is not saving faith because those who received this gift were already saved. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, is where we read of nine spiritual gifts. The gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. The purpose of these gifts was to confirm the spoken word and to mature the early church. As the church matured, and as the written word was completed, the need for these special gifts ceased, and so did these gifts. The Bible says little about this spiritual gift, and therefore what we know about it is limited. Number two, faith is used for a personal conviction. This is the faith we read about in Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. This refers to him that is weak in a personal conviction. The examples given are that of eating and drinking things that have been offered to idols and the keeping of special days. This meat and drink in these special days were not in and of themselves sinful. However, Paul writes in Romans 14:22 through 23, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Substitute the words personal convictions for faith in these verses. Hast thou a personal conviction? Have it to thyself before God. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not in accordance with his personal conviction. For whatsoever is not in accordance with a personal conviction is sin. The word faith in the Bible is commonly used for a conviction formed by evidence. This is number three. Faith is a conviction formed by evidence. God has provided evidence for what he wants us to believe. Our experience in science, geography, and history is limited. Most of what we know about these things are things we have been told. When we believe what we hear, we have faith. We do not believe everything we hear, but we do believe when the testimony is reasonable and the testator is reliable. Luke wrote that we might know the certainty of the things wherein we have been instructed. Luke 1 and verse 4. And John said that these things were written that we might believe. John 20 and verse 31. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are documents of evidence. The writers are telling us why they believe, and they are telling us so that we might believe. Now, number four. Faith is sometimes used for what is believed. An example is the third verse of the book of Jude. Earnestly contend for the faith. Jude is not admonishing us to contend for a personal conviction, but for the gospel of the new covenant. This is the meaning of faith in Ephesians 4:4, where we read that there is one faith. The use of the article before faith is an indicator of this kind of faith, but it's not a fail-safe indicator. Faith is like every other word, and the use of a word must be determined by context. It's not always clear in every use of the word what kind of faith is being referenced. Number five, faith is sometimes used for the totality of man's response to God. A synecdoche is a figure of speech that is used when a part is put for the whole. When we say that someone has a nice set of wheels, we know we're talking about the whole car. When Paul tells us that Abraham was justified by faith, we know that this faith includes the totality of the response Abraham made to God in faith. Because in the same chapter, we read that we're to walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. This is the faith of Ephesians 2 and verse 8. By grace are we saved through faith. Here grace includes everything God did for our salvation. And faith includes everything we do in response to God's grace. And then number six, we talk about faith and trust. I illustrate it this way. A tightrope walker strung a rope across Niagara Falls and asked, "Who believes that I can walk this rope?" Some said they believe, and to the amazement of all, he walked the rope. And then he took a wheelbarrow and asked, "Who believes I can push this wheelbarrow across the falls?" Many now enthusiastically said that they believed he could do it. Then the tightrope walker asked, "Who will get into the wheelbarrow?" No one would. They believed, but they did not trust. When we say faith is taking God at His word, we're talking about a faith of trust. A saving faith is a trusting faith. We read in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "He that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." This is a trusting, obedient, saving faith. So, if you'd been at Rock Cliff that morning and listened to me preaching, that would have been the gist of the sermon that morning. I read from the Rock Cliff Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with that, we're going to return to the normal classes that we have, the normal subjects, and we're talking about the downfall of Babylon. And we've been reading from the book of Jeremiah the prophecies that he made concerning Babylon and its downfall. And we have come to Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 5. And so I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah 51:5. And we'll spend the remainder of this class and the beginning of our next class reading from this chapter about these prophecies. Jeremiah 51 and verse 5. Jeremiah says, "Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of Jehovah of hosts, though their land is full of guilt against the Holy One of Israel, flee out of the midst of Babylon, and save every man his life. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for it is the time of Jehovah's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in Jehovah's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Wail for her, take balm for her pain. If so be she may be healed, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. Jehovah hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of Jehovah our God. Jeremiah 51 in verse 11. Make sharp the arrows, hold firm the shields. Jehovah hath stirred up the spirit of the king of the Medes, because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of Jehovah, the vengeance of his temple. Set up a standard against the wall of Babylon. Make the watch strong, set the watchman, prepare the ambushes. For Jehovah hath both purposed and done that which he spake concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come. The measure of thy covetousness, Jehovah of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with a cankerworm, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. Jeremiah 51, verse 15. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding hath he stretched out the heavens. When he uttereth his voice, there is a tumult of the waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasuries. Every man is become brutish, and is without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, a work of delusion, and the time of their visitation. They shall perish. Their portion of Jacob is not like thee, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. Jehovah of hosts is his name. Jeremiah 51 in verse 20. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, and with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy the kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and him that rideth therein, and with thee will I break in pieces man and woman, and I in thee will I break in pieces the old man and the youth. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the virgin. And with thee will I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and the yoke of his oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces governors and deputies. And I will render unto Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, saith Jehovah. Jeremiah 51 and verse 25. Behold, I'm against thee, O destroying mountain, saith Jehovah, which destroyeth all the earth. I'm going to stop. Well, let me read a little more. I'll stop there. I'm going to stop in Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 25. And when the class returns, we'll read more of this. I hope you're enjoying reading this from Jeremiah about the prophecy of the destruction of Babylon.